Sexy V's, Sports V's, James.
Hello.
Here, I know he is. Here you go.
Hello.
Here he is.
I'm looking dead at the laptop, and I see I was on, so I don't know what the hell happened. This is going on too many times on the show. Anyway, let me. I was such in a good mood. Okay, let me try. Okay. And three, two, one. Hey, what's going out there, everybody? V's After Dark Radio Land, and you know what time it is. When 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here, it is time for Ask Miss V Sports on V's After Dark Radio. I am your host, James Acevedo. We have a lot to talk about in this quickest hour in sports talk radio. Say that fast. And trust me, there's a lot for me to say because I really felt what happened last night, what I saw, a couple of things I saw last night, which was probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. But before I get to that, let me introduce to you the CEO of V's at the Dark Radio, host and co-host of this show, and a boss lady herself, is the one and only, the very lovely Miss V, the toy lady. And what's going on, my dear?
You know what? I can't. I wanted to talk about sports, but it's fucked up when you can't talk about sports because you've been too tired to watch them. So I can't even tell you if the Rams won or lost. Nine times out of ten, probably lost. But I can't really say for sure, so I can't comment. You know, I'll leave it at that.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? And I swear to God, I'm not. Excuse me. I'm not lying to you. I'm trying to be a little more of a little PG here on this show. I was thinking, man, I have so much to say. And it's nothing negative. It's a lot of positive, which is rare. Considering I'm a New Yorker, we usually are negative, negative, negative. But, you know, I said, you know what? I want to give Ms. V her chance to talk about her Detroit Red Wings. I wanted to give her a chance to start the show with that first. For one, because I know she's very passionate, and I'm trying to give hockey some respect because I do love NHL hockey playoffs. I'm not disrespecting it. I was just thinking, well, I was going to let Ms. V talk about her Detroit Red Wings, you know, for a good 10 minutes or so, whatever, and then I would take over because it's a lot I have to say. That was just so awesome. But then you come in here and say, well, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I was tired. I didn't see shit. So I can't be phony about it. That's what I love about you. That's why I love doing this show. And that's how I am. That's how we are here. And that's how I am even when I'm in my own show. If I didn't see it or if I don't care about it, we will tell you.
I don't care. Everybody know that I love my sports.
Yes, you do.
And I'll put this out there because this is nothing that's embarrassing. For anybody who don't know what hypoglycemia is, hypoglycemia, unlike diabetics who, like, test their blood and everything, I'm hypoglycemic, mm-hmm. which means that my blood sugar will go low. But when it goes low, I have to try to find ways to shoot it up, and it dropped
early
this morning, and I've been trying to get it up all day. And with that, and when it drops, this, like, diabetics know when they don't do certain things, you know, and I'm not going to make this a medicine show. But just to give you guys an idea, diabetics know, you know, it's like, oh, if this happens, I could go drink orange juice. You know, they could do certain things. Well, when you're hypoglycemic, you have to eat. It's not about matter of getting sugar or sweet or anything in the system. It's getting your levels back right. And your levels aren't the same as diabetics, where diabetics know where their numbers are supposed to be. We don't have numbers that we go by always. I have friends, you know, who finger poke, and they said, hey, we'll do the finger poke with one of my friends who's diabetic. She had herself with her, and we were going to literally check my blood sugar this morning to see, you know, where it was at, and it happened to be that the batteries went out in her machine.
But because
I know my body, and I know when it drops, I'm normally able to shoot it up, like, within a couple of hours. So I was really eating, and for anybody who listened to the Triple B show last night, because we're keeping it PG, so we won't say the real name. We'll say the Triple B show last night. There was nothing wrong with me, but normally I'm always talking about food, you know, especially at that show because I'm normally right beforehand, and I've had contractors at my house, so I didn't eat. It's not intentional. It happens sometimes. But it just happened to be this time that when we're not eating, it caused my blood sugar to drop really, really bad.
Oh, my God.
I didn't sleep all day. I ain't going to lie. I was laying there trying to fight to get up. I was like, damn. Like, I got to get up for the show. Like, I got to get up for the show. I ignored James' phone call. So this is not anything against anything other than it's just that when this happens, you know, as I have to let my body kind of recover on its own. I mean, as long as it don't drop real low, I've been blessed that mine has never dropped as low as some people pass out from it.
Yeah, got
and, I mean, if I'm having a hard time waking up, I do keep juice around me because that will shoot it up real quick. But mm-hmm. when I'm conscious and walking around, for whatever reason, juice won't really shoot me up. And it's
gotcha.
Kind of funny because people don't understand that. You know, trying to tell people when I'm awake and me drinking juice, my body's like, yo, that was nice. Can I have some vodka or something to go with that juice? You know, I don't like that. It's like, yo, that is juice. You know, what you giving me with this juice? Now, if I'm really, really exhausted, now, like the way I was sleeping today, if it wouldn't have shot back up, I would have eventually put juice in my system because that means it would stay too low. And it's still low. Let's get it clear. It's still low, but I force myself to do that because I've got to eat. Because also, if I don't, as they say, it's one of those things, it makes you tired. So you're too tired to eat. But if you don't eat, you stay tired. So it's like a cycle.
It gets even worse. Yeah.
You know, so if anybody can kind of understand what I'm saying, it's like you're tired, but you know you need to eat, but I'm too tired to eat, you know, so like I said, after this show, I would be going to get me something to eat, you know, so it's like a cycle, you know, that doesn't stop, you know, as they say, something has to give.
Something has to give, and then she's gonna go into a food coma and definitely knock the fuck out. I mean, excuse me, knock out. Oops, where's the swear jar?
Not to put it down on anybody's night. That's just what's going on. You know, it's nothing bad. Because normally I've been on top of the day, so I really don't know. I mean, can someone tell me really what happened with my Red Wings?
Well, yours truly, while you were explaining what's been going on with you, I happened to be looking it up, and your Red Wings lost last night 3-2. So it doesn't shock you. Okay. I mean, they are facing the defending NHL Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not going to be easy feat.
You know what? Also, they were in Tampa Bay, and if they win game two, see, the whole thing is that they can still take home ice advantage back. It's just that they were not the favorites to win this game. You know, that's one of the reasons why I said I didn't know if they won or lost, because they went in there as the underdog. And if anybody has been looking at my avatar, everybody knows that my avatar is in honor of the Red Wings.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. The streak continues. 26 years.
A quarter of a century.
I mean, because they count the first season as a year. You know what I'm saying? They count the first season as a year. So it's really 26 years if you think about it. But that's an amazing feat. When I noticed that on your avatar last week, I was like, they did it.
As soon as it happened, and remember we were talking on Friday night, and I said, oh, they still have a chance. And people kept saying if they won. No, what it is you had to be watching the whole thing, and they actually lost. But still got in. See, that's what people don't realize.
I didn't know that.
The Bruins,
so they got help.
They lost. They lost their game on Saturday, but the Bruins also lost. So for anyone who knows me and knows anything about me, I was actually watching – my sports app, I have, now, this is the beauty of just these modern TVs with cable and stuff. Cable TV has apps on cable TV. You can't put them on your phone, but they're apps for the TV. So they have the sports apps, so you can actually, what it is, they'll have
That's the cool.
rolling scores of the different events, different games.
Gotcha.
You can actually list your favorite teams that you want to watch. So what I was doing is I actually watched the Red Wings game, and I watched them lose. I knew they were going to lose. I was like, okay, but I also knew that the Bruins were going to lose because the Bruins got shut out. They were horrible. We was like, not only thank you, Bruins, y'all lost so bad, it wasn't a chance for them winning. So,
wow.
And that was where it stood. It had to be the Red Wings win, the Bruins lose. Or if the Bruins won, they had to only win by so much. It was like one of those things where they pretty much was going to get in the back door. It was just how they got in. They lost, but the Bruins got killed. You know, the Kings, I think it was like 6-0. I mean, they got their butts beat.
Shout out to?
It was like, I mean, they got their butts beat. So it was like, okay. So I did watch that, you know. So for anybody who says, how did I know? And as soon as it happened, I put that on Twitter. I mean, as soon as the Bruins lost, I went up on Twitter and posted it. And I, if anybody noticed, I changed my avatar pretty much the same day. To let everybody know that, you know, in my avatar – I will, just so anybody understand, my avatar will stay like that until the Red Wings are not in the playoffs. Just saying, you know.
Gotcha.
And
well,
it's going to be kind of hard because the Pistons are also in the playoffs. So we've got
congrats.
Teams in the playoffs.
Dave Seed, congratulations to your team. I like my shitty, excuse me, my crappy next.
So
but congrats.
I actually have two teams in the playoffs right now, but because it was more significant to have the Red Wings avatar up there, you know. All I
can
say is that, you know.
Well, you know, since you're a woman, you know, because anybody doesn't know, there's a hockey thing that's been going on the last few years that you grow a playoff beard. So since you're very feminine and obviously you can't grow a beard, this is your way of showing support for your hockey team by putting the avatar of Detroit Red Wings saying the 25 straight seasons of making the playoffs, which is that is not a feat to sneeze at or to belittle or to
And they are the only team in all sports, you know.
All sports.
The beauty is that this is not a hockey thing. This is a
across-the-board
sports thing.
All sports. All American
therefore,
sports. Yep.
You know, therefore, it's a proud avatar. I don't mind having up there, you know.
I mean, think about it. During that span of 25 straight seasons making the playoffs, they won 4 Stanley Cups. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Well, think about it. My daughter is loving this because anybody who knows my daughter, you follow her, Cat of Beauty. Yes, I said it. But anybody who knows her, you can follow her. The Red Wings, as long as she's been on this earth, have always went to the playoffs. So for her, she's even loving it more because she gets
she's
to spoiled. Say she's been here 25. She's been here 25 years, and they've made it to the playoffs every single year of her life. You know, they're born and they
every year they've been alive.
And it's the women, and it's the team that they root for. You know, let's keep it real. It's not just one team; it's the team that they root for.
Yeah, that's very, very, very unique. Yes, very rare, very unique. I mean, even my Yankees, they had a streak from '95 until 2011, making the playoffs every year. So that's about 10, 15, it's about 16 years, and that's still not close to what the Red Wings have accomplished. Even the Braves, when they won those division titles every year, and they were in the playoffs for a freaking, like, oh my God, like, from 90 to, for a while, into the 2000s, at least over 10-plus years. It probably was at least 15, 16 years, too, or set maybe 1 year less or 1 year more, but it's still not close to the Detroit Red Wings.
The Red Wings.
It's an amazing feat. It is an amazing feat because, I mean, you still have to go out there, play 81 games a season. Oh, I'm sorry, 82 games a season, and, you know, play your heart out. You know, it's not at different teams over the years. It's not like, you know, okay, this is only, you know, 6, 7, you know, even 10 years. And it's possible, okay, most of it's from the same team or whatever. No, this is a long quarter of a, you know, like Ms. V said, quarter of a century. That's a long freaking time. So.
And the last time that the Red Wings did not make it to the playoffs, the Colts got fired.
Think about that. That's how long. I mean, my God. Wow. That's
the
amazing.
That they did, the last time they did not make it, the coach got fired. And it's one of those things where people kind of be like, oh, well. But they had said, even if if they would not have made it this year, the coach was not going to be fired. You know, they had already put that out there,
so,
you know, that the coach was not going to be fired. But just to tell you that no coach has – to have a coach, regardless of who it is, not be fired.
Man, I didn't even realize that. You've had the same head coach all this time?
No, we haven't had the same head coach. We've had different coaches. But,
You
know, the playoffs in any sport is when your coaches get let go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't
mm-hmm.
make it to the playoffs, boom, you out the door. So
yeah,
think about
true.
It. We haven't had a coach for the Red Wings be fired during the playoffs in 25 years.
I see.
We haven't let anybody go. You know, we haven't given anybody the boot. We've had coaches leave volunteer. I mean, I think all of our last coaches have all left
they
voluntarily.
All left,
you know,
and,
they have
and
all
what was
left
the reason
on
for
their
that?
Own accord.
And was there, do you know some of the reasons for that? Do you know?
They have all left on their own accord for good reasons. Nobody, you know, that's the whole thing. They weren't fired. They've all left pretty much at the end of their contracts. the coach that we just had is now the coach in Toronto, you know. So, you know, it's kind of one of those bittersweet things, you know, the coach that left on his own accord. You know, but what it is that the coaches here in Detroit, honestly, when they feel they have done all that they can do, they have no problem passing that on to somebody else. When they think that they have done as much as they can do, especially if they see, like, when the Red Wings start going a little bit downhill, the coach gracefully left before letting them go all the way to crap. You see what I'm saying?
Now,
when the coach feels that, listen, I've exhausted everything. Well, you know what? Sometimes you just get so redundant. It's with anything, you know, it's like when you get in the car, your car, we all joke about our cars being on autopilot.
Autopilot
so much, we kind of forget things. Well, I think it's the same thing with coaches, you know, same routine over and over and over and over, you know. The players get so used to it that they kind of take things for granted, and sometimes you need to mix things up because when you get new players in, you get people retire, you know, when you get these changes of things, well, you got people who age. So when you get people who age, you know, coaching styles change and you've got to be able to go with your competition. But sometimes you got to get away from what you're used to just to keep yourself refreshed. So we've never had a coach just leave where, oh, we're putting you out, get the F out. It's they've left on their own accord. And when they've left because I truly believe that they feel that they have done all that they could, and when they start seeing things go downhill, instead of saying, let me let this go to SHIT, and then I get fired, leave on my own accord, and give myself a chance to bring it back up. And we've been fortunate with this happening. We've gone 25 straight seasons.
Or also, because the owner of the Red Wings is such a gentleman, he probably goes and says, listen, we don't want to embarrass you and just fire you. You know, that, I mean, not that it happened every time with these coaches, but maybe there was a couple of situations where he was like, listen, I don't want to do that. I don't like to fire somebody, which is hard to believe a owner or a boss don't. But there are certain owners or bosses that are like that.
Well, and just so people just so everybody understand, the owner of the Detroit Red Wings is also the owner of the Detroit Tigers.
Yes,
so
which, by the way,
owns both teams.
Yes, and let me say this. Congrats. I heard that the foundation is being set up for that new arena right by the stadium.
And,
you're right
actually,
by Ford Field.
Can,
that's amazing.
Follow,
congratulations.
You can follow, actually, you can follow it live. I mean, they have live 24 shots of the construction going on.
Yes, I
have
heard
not
about
went,
that, yes.
I have not even gone and looked at it. You know, I'm one of
that's
those
amazing.
People when it's done.
I think
it's
that's
done.
Awesome.
It's a lot of stuff going on, but, yeah, this will be the first time. It's actually going to be – they're not just creating an arena, they're creating a city. And when
yes,
I say this,
absolutely.
Not just a brand new arena, they're creating a shopping – it's the name of it for anybody who wants to look it up. And, yes, I'm going to say this so you guys can look it up. It's called District Detroit.
Okay. District Detroit.
And when you go and look at that, it's the live view and – you know, I haven't looked at it myself. They talk about it. They talk about the deal that's going on. But it's going to be like, it's like it's created its own little entity. As I said,
you know,
Detroit, I do district downtown.
Yeah. I mean, I remember us talking about this a year ago of this possibility on this show. And mm-hmm. we just fast forward to a year later, and to know that as a reality, all the credit, because, you know, we're very consistent. We like to, give harsh criticism when it's deserved, but when it's praise deserved, we also like to give that too. So we're fair on both sides. So kudos and mad props and respect to the owner of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers. That's that gentleman right there. He loves downtown Detroit.
Downtown Detroit. And for anybody who don't know, he bought the Detroit Tigers from, now you ready for this, to tell you how apparently pizza is a staple in this city, even though we're not known for our pizza. I'm going to keep it real. We really don't have good pizza, okay?
No,
so I'm not going to sit here and try to.
But at least he's straightforward, unlike Baltimore.
We have Coney Islands, okay? We're known for our Coney Islands, okay?
But I'm
saying,
at least you admit. No, but the thing is, whether you have it or not, you admit it. At least the city be like, look, we're not known for this, but we're known for this. They know sugarcoat, they know, fronting. Like, oh, we're known for crack cakes, but yet, got no crack cake places. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
I got this for you. The previous owner of the Tigers was Mike Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows about Mike Monahan, remember when Domino's Pizza had the Noid?
Mm-hmm.
He used to be the owner of the Tigers. He sold Domino's, and he's a Christian. You know, he's a very Christian man, and he's used his money to invest in different things. But he sold the Tigers to the current owner, Mike Ilitch. Now, anybody who wants to know about Mike Ilitch is the pizza man. That's why you got Little Caesars Pizza all over the country. Little Caesars Pizza started here in Detroit. I've had a chance to meet Mike Ilitch and his wife, Mary.
Oh, really?
They are very nice people. Oh, yeah. Up until the 90s, and I don't know if they still do a Saucony GoPro, from what I know. They used to visit the individual Little Caesars Pizzas, and they would be behind the counter. And they didn't have an entourage or anything, but I can tell you one thing. She had a nice rock. She had I think I asked her what size it was, and she said, oh, I earned this, honey. And it was like 10 or 12 carats. But they're very hands-on owners. And Marianne Illich is also co-owner of the Motor City Casino here. So they have their hands in a lot of things here. Entire family, they are a true rags-to-riches story. Are they rags-to-riches, but they kept it here. They kept it real,
That's awesome.
I haven't seen them lately, but this is back in the 90s, and they were still already up there in the 90s because we all know that the Tigers was already kicking, in the 90s, and they had the Red Wings. But the whole thing is that the Illich family in general, they have always tried to be a part of the community. Them along with the owner of the Cavaliers have transformed downtown Detroit. And I'm not trying to be funny when I can't remember the name of the Cavaliers owner, considering I'm always talking about them. But considering I've dogged him out for bringing LeBron James back. He really needs to have his look kicked on that one. And we know how I feel about that.
No kidding. Yeah.
But he's the owner of the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers is actually homegrown Detroit. So I hope Cleveland appreciates the fact that the money that they're making is helping finance Detroit. But but if you go to districtdetroit.com, they actually have a live webcam.
Yes, I'm watching it. It's good. I mean, and what makes this, and at the same time, I'm watching the live cam, and I'm watching a 2-minute, 31-second clip from the beginning of when they started with the foundation all the way up to now. You know, how they do that fast, speed up time. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And what makes this even special to you Motown people out there, the owner of the Detroit Tigers and Red Wings, he wants to bring the Pistons to that new arena. And if he accomplishes he will be forever immortalized.
I would tell you one thing. The problem is the owner of the Pistons, and there's an agreement. And I'm going to tell you this. If there's ever been a feud that people didn't know about, I'm going to give you this little feud so that people will understand. The reason why the owner of the Red Wings and Lions don't own the Pistons is because, in passing, there's such a hatred. And when I say hatred, and I'm going to be honest, anybody who lives here knows about this hatred. The owner, the previous owner of the Pistons, God rest his soul, made his wife promise that he would never sell the Pistons to the Illiches.
Wow. What the hell happened?
He
slept with his wife
at
home? Like, what the hell happened?
Hey, I don't know. But and that is why the Illiches did not get.
That's kind of, I would love to know the reason.
No one knows that there is such a hatred. And I'm not trying to be funny. There is a hatred.
Wow.
And it's just one of those things that people know it here. We don't know let's keep it real. We don't know the reason behind it. We just know there's a hatred, okay? And
wow. That deep, huh? It's been going on for a long time, huh?
Yes, and we wanted the Illiches to get the Pistons because we knew that they would have brought them down here, But the Pistons have a lot to lose if they leave where they're at because unlike when they were at the Silver Dome, which was in Pontiac, they actually have their own company called Palace Entertainment. So part of the sale of the Pistons was also the sale of Palace Entertainment, and it ain't like the Pistons making them no money. Let's keep it real. Their money ain't coming from the Pistons. Their money is coming from the concerts. But,
gotcha.
Support the Pistons from Auburn Hills is going to kill them like it did Pontiac. I'm going to keep it real. The difference between Pontiac and Auburn Hills is Auburn Hills is a very affluent community. You have a lot of pro players that are out that way. And I hope that part of the goal of everything that's going on is that we bring the players back to the city as far as living.
Yeah.
Because I remember growing up hanging out with the Pistons and the Red Wings and the Tigers and the Lions. You know, and I'm not saying they got to live in the city, but a lot of people don't realize you've got like $3 million communities inside of the city of Detroit that people don't know about. And when I tell them that we have million-dollar homes in this city, they don't believe me. And we have some very, very rich people that live in this city.
Mm.
And I don't mean in the suburbs outside of the city. I mean literally inside of the city of Detroit. We have millionaires. We have, like I said, $3 million area where, you know, I drive through there and I'd be like, well, this is a nice dream, and I keep it on going. they're so proud that they have their own security, okay?
Wow.
They have their own security that they pay for, part of their association in the neighborhoods. I mean, these are mansions. When I say these are million-dollar homes, these are like mansions. We're talking 4,000 or 5,000 square feet homes inside of the city of Detroit that people wouldn't know about. The mayor lives in a mansion inside of the city of Detroit on the riverfront. And I think that the mayor's mansion is 3,500 square feet. Plus, they have an indoor pool. They have an outdoor pool. Weddings are all – but let's get it clear for anybody who says, oh, the mayor gets all this. The mayor's mansion is open to the public, though. Even though the mayor lives there, you know how the White House – you know how the person lives in the White House, that they have their own quarters. The mayor's mansion in Detroit is similar to that. Like, let's say I was getting married and I wanted to have my wedding reception there. I could literally rent out the mayor's mansion for my wedding reception. I mean, it would probably cost me an arm and a leg, but because a private foundation runs the home, even though it's his home to live in, if I want to have a wedding reception there, I'm allowed to have it. A lot of people don't know that. But the mayor's mansion is open for receptions and stuff like that. So it's not as private as people think it is.
Yo, I'm just saying, I'm just looking at this. This is so awesome. I'm watching a live feed, and they're working right now as we speak, as we're doing this show. I see the construction workers. You know, you don't see them, but you see the trucks, cement trucks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The traffic, you know, right just outside the arena. It looks like a not a bridge, but like above ground
bowl.
You know what I'm saying?
A bowl.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like
a bowl.
Yeah, it looks like a highway or something. Not highway, but it looks like a road, above ground road type of thing. That I see a car every now and then go through there. So that's awesome. See, this is where I love technology nowadays. This is one of the things that I love about technology today. That this is awesome. Oh, there goes the car.
But that's how it is. To be able to be in another city and watch something like this.
I loved it.
To say, hey, not only am I hearing about it, but because I'm sure you didn't know that they had a website up where you could actually watch it.
No, I had no idea until you said it. And as I look at this website, you could actually you go to the archive and you could get panoramic views of the area of the construction site. Like what's near there, there's actual places to go as far as on the website, like neighborhoods near there, jobs, leasing, events about the District Detroit website. I mean, this is a well-done
and
website.
Just so you know, I want you to know that I'm looking at it also while you're talking. On the right-hand side, the cars that you see, that is actually Woodward Avenue. That is the vein of Detroit. That is our main street.
Okay. Okay, well, that car right there.
The east side from the west side. Yeah.
The car that just passed the bottom. You know, what street is that? You know, the one that's a blue, it seems above, you know, it doesn't seem like a regular street level street. That's right below the view. You know, not to your right. I know what you're talking about to your right. I see all that. But there's a street
that's the entrance to the freeway. That's the
actual. Oh, okay. That's what.
That,
okay, that's why I'm saying. Okay, that's why I figured it was. Yeah, there goes another car.
Yeah, that's the entrance to the freeway that's next to it.
Okay, I knew it had to be. So I said, okay, it has to be that because you could tell. Okay, that's not street level because you're looking to your right. Okay, that's street level. So why is that road like so high? Has to be, you know, entrance to some sort of freeway or highway, whatever. So that's and it looks like a parking. What is that? Is that a parking garage? Like
I'm not
right
really
to the
sure.
Left?
I've been trying to figure out. You know what? I'm gonna have to go down there and actually get an actual true visual so I'll know what I'm looking at and what angle, because I want to say that I know what the building is to the left of it, but I don't want to make the accusation because I don't know what angle they have this at.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see some of the things. I'm pretty sure we're looking towards the north. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm almost positive that we're looking towards the north, which means we're looking away from downtown. As a matter of fact, I know we're not looking towards downtown Detroit because you don't see the river. So we're looking away from downtown Detroit. For anybody who's like saying, how do I know this? I know downtown Detroit. I could tell you that we're looking.
Well, you live there.
We're looking towards the north. but we're looking towards the north because actually, as a matter of fact, that smaller, that light tan building that you see that looks like it's directly behind one of the cranes, that used to be a hotel.
Which one?
It used to be called a hotel. It's the
largest
of all of them. It's like, no, but it's like the third.
Oh, okay.
It's the one in the middle.
It's like
the crane
yellow.
In the middle.
Okay,
yeah.
Yellow and brown building.
Yeah, that used to be, it's called the Hotel Eddystone.
Okay.
The neighborhood that this is being built in is one of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Detroit. I mean.
Oh, wow, really?
My concern for this, and it's a concern that everybody has, the concern that I have, is that you have displaced a lot of low-income people. And you don't have, unlike, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on New York or Chicago or any city, but you know how you have your projects. The city of Detroit, the city of Detroit has managed to do, they have eliminated the old-style projects. They have eliminated them. All of the old projects have been torn down, and they have now been turned into more communities, and they call it mixed housing, which means that people, you don't have, everybody who's there is not low income, everybody there is not renting. They have a mixture of homeowners and renters together, along with low income. So they're showing them appreciation for the community. And that's what they've done. They have gone in. There's only one set of true low-income housing that is federally owned in the city, and that's on the west side of Detroit. That's the one. It might be two. It might be one on the east side. But as far as the ones that were really, really known that, like, the projects is where Diana Ross grew up. They're gone. They're gone, okay?
Oh, wow.
They're gone.
They gone.
A lot of the projects, especially that were in the heart of downtown Detroit, are gone. They have eliminated them. They have really, you know, when I say they've raged and the federal government came in and said, hey, you know, a big problem with crime is when you have low-income people together. And I'm not saying that low-income people breed crime, but when you continue to breed an environment where the only way to get out is to sell drugs, and your idol is the drug dealer, because the drug dealer is living with somebody's mama and selling drugs out of their apartment, and that's the only way you can have something. But to avoid that breeding, they have turned these into mixed-income communities, which means they have leveled these housing projects, and they are no longer called housing projects. They are mixed housing, and they've given them different names. So even the names that were associated with them, you know, here we had the Brewster Projects and the Jeffries and the Harmon Gardens, and there were some other ones. I can't even think of all of them, but I know Harmon Gardens is gone. The Jeffries is gone. The Brewster Projects are gone. These are things that people could relate with who didn't live inside the city of Detroit. They're gone. They have been turned into like townhouses and single family homes and mixed income, and you've got people who are buying their houses in these communities. And, you know, unfortunately, the heifer who had her children in the freezer lived in one of these units, you know, always takes one to mess it up, you know.
Always one.
Always got to have one. But, you know,
one trying to roll the, trying to spoil the whole bunch all the time.
But still, you know, that's one thing they've done. But like I said, my concern is that because we still have a lot of low-income people and nobody's talking that the rest of the city is suffering because we're building up downtown Detroit. And my fear is a fear that I think a lot of people have, and my fear is that...
They go to the suburbs?
Is it going to be that... No, my fear is that are you going to have only people who make above $100,000 a year living in downtown Detroit? And you're not going to be able to afford to go down there, because when you go to Chicago, I don't think anybody low income really lives in downtown Chicago. I don't think any low income people live in Manhattan. I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm not from Manhattan, so I can't see.
Well,
I could just talk about from what I've heard.
I could tell you this, because I know of this from experience, and it's a fact. There is projects in Manhattan and the Lower East Side of Manhattan, obviously Lower East Side of Manhattan, Harlem, you know, places like that, but they're not in the, not, you know, near the financial district, although it's not too far. I think from walking from there, it would take you at least 25 minutes, but it's not in the middle of, you know, there's a financial district, you know, Wall Street. So, but there is still projects there. And let me say this, I can't speak for Chicago, but I can speak for New York. Unfortunately, the New York housing, public housing authority will never go away, because there's a lot of corrupt stuff going on, and it generates a lot of money. So that will unfortunately will never go away. Therefore, you know, certain things unfortunately will happen. Now you got co-ops, which is totally different. That's an upgrade, because then you need there's tenants that definitely have to have certain clientele. You know, it's different from the projects, but there's still too many projects, and it generates too much money, believe it or not, and a lot of corruption, and unfortunately, that will not go away unlike it did in Detroit. It would be nice,
like,
because then it would make it better for New York, but...
But the whole thing, but you know what? The feds came in and did that. The feds came in and did that because of corruption in Detroit. So, it might, you know, I don't know what other cities they've done that to. You know, I know they came into Detroit and did it, you know, and because our corruption was so bad, I mean, hell, we went bankrupt, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's not forget every year on Hell Night what would happen.
It's called Devil's Night, and now it's called Angel's Night, because we used to have over 300 fires on Devil's Night every year, and they stopped that in the 80s because there was so many fires that it was just ridiculous. It was horrible.
Look at Warzone.
And, you know, and we still have places, you know, in Detroit that look like Little Saigon, and literally you can be on one street, literally you could be on one street and go one block over, you're like, wow.
You know,
like a bomb here?
Yeah, I know. You know what? I live, because, you know, I'm 43 years old. I live in the era where if you went to Brooklyn or the Bronx, it looked like a war zone. Abandoned buildings left for, you know, total devastation, open areas, rat infested, you know. I give them credit for the last, I would say, 15, 20 years. They rebuilt the Bronx, downtown, you know, boogie down Bronx. They definitely have rebuilt that. Harlem has definitely been more on an uprise. You know, Brooklyn is still Brooklyn. That's the only thing.
Hey, we got a caller.
We do?
We got a caller. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I was too busy watching the. By the way, should you find the.
You know, the I have too. I just said that over. They got home for 14 minutes, and we really got to apologize.
Oh, wow.
You want to bring him over, or you want me to bring him over? Because I got to apologize. I was doing the same thing, so I got to apologize.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Hold on 1 second. I got it. Hello, caller. You're on the air. What's up?
Hell night. You said hell night?
Hey.
It's Dietrich.
What's up,
what's
Dietrich?
It's called, hey, you know it's called Devil's
hey,
Night. Don't
perfect.
Play.
I know. He just said hell night. That's just stupid with you.
Wow, finally calling in. Wow, you probably got some free time on your hands, huh?
Yeah.
What's up?
He ain't trying to
yo,
fire
this is
nobody.
Perfect. And this is perfect because Dietrich is from Detroit. You know,
yeah,
that's his
yeah.
origin. So this is, like, perfect. Did you hear what we've been talking about for the last almost half
yeah,
hour?
Yeah, by the Millionaire Mansion on Riverfront. And, you know,
yeah.
you got to remember Sherwood Forest, too. Near 8 Mile and the big house back there too.
I was thinking about that.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I was saying that we've got three different areas that are $1 million homes. I didn't really get into
yeah.
the name of each one of the areas. So I was saying,
yeah.
you know, we've got the different areas.
You know, John,
so people don't realize we actually have $1 million
yep.
homes.
Because you know, John Scully got a house back there. You know, I think to this day he still got a house back there.
Well, you know, Oprah has a house in Detroit. Which
yeah.
a lot of people don't know. Oprah has a house in Sherwood Forest. And
yep.
she pays the tuition of like 7 boys, and they live there, and they go to U of B.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
sure Oprah is so happy that I just put all her business out.
Free advertising. The
yep.
power
and
Oprah,
then,
once again.
And then as far as New York, I remember because me and James are around the same age bracket. I know New York, they used to base game movies on New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing game movies on, like Death Wish is all over New York. Just like
yeah.
that was John Bronson.
Yeah.
I thought New York was like that. When I saw Death Wish 3, when they had the game going around with
Ben. Or like
the Warriors.
Escape from New York or
yeah.
like
I
Warriors.
Thought, I love
yeah.
the Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love
I thought
the Warriors.
New York
Warriors.
Was like that.
Come on.
So I thought New York was like that. Everybody, I thought New York was like that. Everything is everybody walking around with spike hair and chain baseball bats.
Okay,
all listen.
Listen, I came from that era, and it wasn't far off. It was maybe a little exaggerated, but I'm telling you, the 80s and 90s, well, the 70s, yeah, from the 70s, I would say to the mid-70s, all the way to, I would say, the mid-90s, until, like, Giuliani came in, like, in 93, 94, and he started getting rid of all the corruption and all that other stuff, and it made New York more of a tourist attraction again, where
yeah.
he basically took Times Square, which was a, you know, a prostitute central and peephole central of the world, and turned it into Disney World, basically. You go down there now, you got major corporations, you know, M&M's and, you know, all these other corporations, Coca-Cola, you know, I saw stores and stuff like that, and
yeah.
that's all near the Broadway. You know, all the plays and stuff. So it's amazing. I've seen the transformation. But it's amazing also at the same time, Brooklyn hasn't really changed much, to be honest with you.
Nah.
And Brownsville and East New York. I mean, there's been some rebuilding. I'm not saying they've redone certain train stations and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's still of all the five boroughs, it's still that's the worst as far as crime. I mean, it's almost if you look at the what you call those police blotters.
Yep.
If you look it up, probably every day, you know, and they show for every borough, Brooklyn's always the most with incidences almost every day. And you know, it's like it puts it in perspective. Like wow, it's just crazy, man. It's just still Brooklyn is still Crooklyn in a way. With the exception of going downtown Brooklyn, that's the nicest part of Brooklyn. If you go to Brooklyn Heights, you know, which is right by the Brooklyn Bridge side of Brooklyn, like right around near there, it's a very nice, that's a very nice area where you go, wow, this is Brooklyn. Oh, or if you go where the Prudential Center, I'm sorry, where the Barclays Center is, which I've been a couple of times, it's beautiful. It's so cool what they did around that area off Atlantic Avenue, right near Flatbush. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yep. They outstanding job. I love that arena. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. The basketball team sucks, but they have a nice arena. It's really nice. But as far as the rest of Brooklyn, most of it is I'm trying to be nice here, but it's still a ways to go.
Yeah.
With the exception of Bethurst has always been, you know, nice. You know, Bethurst. Yeah.
But like but what I see about Detroit, see one thing about Detroit, like Tori was saying, you know, they tore down a lot of them projects. But those people are still there. That's the thing about it. That's one thing that Detroit can say. They can do all that building all day long. Those people are still gonna be there. They don't care. They still there. I tell you the difference between Detroit and any other major city. I say Detroit, it don't matter if it's a ghetto, nice houses, nice grass, big houses. Those people that's there is still going to be the same way. They're going to act the same way. The people make the neighborhood look bad.
That sucks.
I mean, I grew up around that. You know, I grew up in the ghetto and then moved to the good side of Detroit and the good side of Detroit. And it's like, the houses in the neighborhood get better, but the people make the neighborhood look trashy. And it was sad.
Bingo.
It's sad for me to say.
Bingo.
Detroit had that label. That label is, and that Detroit is the way it is. And you got people. And you got people from Detroit.
Want to get my house together?
And you got people from Detroit that's still forcing that. I'm from Detroit. I'm going to act this way because that's my root. No. You're going to evolve. Beyond that,
thank you.
Your environment changes, you should change too.
You
forgot. You forgot where you came from because you got to forget.
That's ignorance.
You don't have to forget where you came from, but you still have to change and evolve.
Yes, exactly. You never forget the where you came from and the struggle and what you went through, but also you as people in general, doesn't matter what background, you need to evolve as a society.
Yeah.
If you don't,
people are scared
you ain't going
to
nowhere.
People are scared to evolve. They're scared to change.
Change. Exactly.
Especially when you see stuff growing around you, you both learn and adapt. Because you don't learn and adapt, you're going to fall behind. Detroit is a perfect example. Detroit has been through so much BS over this last decade. Finally, somebody want to invest money into it. And the people are like, some of them are changing. And some of them are like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that my way. And that's why I always went to conflict. Like, you know, I remember back then, it was like the police versus neighborhood all the time. But then now, Detroit is like, Detroit got a hell of a police force now. I mean, it's damn near a damn police city now because they got blood marks everywhere, trucks, damn near track vehicles there. But, you know, because they can bang crime that badly. Like, Detroit is not as bad as it used to be because you got a stronger police force. And the people are starting to, like, the people are getting tired of the crime. So the people are making their own organization to reduce crime, to get the youth involved in something that's structured for them to grow instead of getting hooked up with the gangs and drugs and stuff. So the city itself is trying to do the same thing New York doing, renovate itself. The people are changing, and the state is changing, the city is changing for the better. But you get that select few people who like, you know what, I ain't changing.
Yep.
I'm not starting out. I'm going to go ahead and be me.
That's right.
And that's bad.
We still have them here, too,
that's
trust me. No, you're, and we still have them in New York, too. So
yeah, exactly.
It's true. And, look at us being philosophical and dropping some knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you why. I got
love
friends,
it.
Like I said. Like, I live in Virginia. I got friends that ask me all the time, family all the time, ask me, why don't you move back? Why don't you move back to Detroit? Okay, I said, for one, the job market not there for me as far as going to pay me what I want to pay me. And even if I would take a pay cut to go back,
you go backwards?
I can't have shit because I got to worry about somebody trying to carjack me, rob me, or whoever I got that's good. I'm not trying to
Wait a minute, Dietrich. Dietrich, you remember I'm still here. I'm still
know,
here now.
I waited to say so. Okay. Now, yeah. So, and then if I move back, I got to stay in the suburbs, which I don't want to stay in the suburbs. If I'm going to move back, I want to live in the city. That's
it
me.
Ain't nothing wrong with living in the suburbs, okay? It ain't nothing wrong with living in the suburbs.
No, I'm just saying, I'm in the suburbs. I'm just saying the reason I want to live in the suburbs because I feel like I grew up in the city. I went back to the city. I don't have an issue with the suburbs at all. I just went back to where my roots, where I came back from. I want to, you know, like the places that I grew up at is tore down now or is it vacant? Cause I live
that's what you were talking about earlier.
I know, Woodward Avenue between 2nd and 3rd, like near what is it called, Newton area.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I grew up, I couldn't afford to live there because they're damn condos now. The building is still there, but the building that we first moved into when I moved to Detroit is now condos. The exact same apartment that I lived in as an adult because I moved back there as an adult is now a condo that I cannot afford. So I could go live in the city. I just couldn't live where I was at because the building is still there. It still looks the same on the outside except they're now condos with patios. They're not a patio when I lived in Detroit.
See, where I live at out there, my building is still there, but it's vacant. It's vacant lots around it, or the building is still there. The one thing that's still there was crazy as hell to me is the corner store is still there. The corner store is still on the same spot. The neighborhood is gone now. Vacant lots, empty houses, you got houses here and there, probably here and there. The store is still fucking there. Owned by the same Chaldeans that was there when I was growing up. The same Chaldeans still
own the
same. Because
they sell liquor. Because they sell liquor.
That's true. And
Blood
Ramp.
New.
And Blood Ramp.
Yeah. And the liquor store is brand new.
But they never have built the liquor store. So they still there because people still buy liquor.
Yeah, that tripped me out right there. That just tripped me out right there. It's still there. Like, brand new. Everything else falling apart. Look, it's still brand new. Lights, paint, everything. This wow. Coney Island, still there. Brand new. Trio, neighborhood run down, but the Coney Island's still there. So, I mean, it's brand new. I'm like, wow.
Listen, where is the sister going to go after the club? After drinking all night, you can't go to the Coney Island, okay.
Exactly.
Hell, don't be acting brand new.
And the crazy part about those places, and the funny part about those places never get robbed. They never get robbed because half the neighborhood know the motherfuckers is they own the store on the Coney Island, and they know everybody else. So if somebody's going to rob them,
hold up.
They kill them.
Let me set you up on that one because the Coney Islands are the first places to get robbed. So I don't know where the hell you've been because they grew up in the Coney Islands and shoot people. They know where the hell to go. They go into the damn drive thru in the Coney Island and jacking people.
I'm
where
talking
the hell
about
you
the one. I'm talking about the one with the bullet, without the bulletproof glass. The one without the bulletproof glass. The one that know better. The Coney Island, like the Oasis one, the one with the bulletproof glass, and you can't shoot that. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, so much
to
eat you now.
No more.
Stop playing. Really?
Ain't no damn Oasis. What the hell you seen? There ain't no damn Oasis Coney Islands and some weird. They got rid of them shit. What the hell you seen that? That's what I said.
Man,
you seen not here. I've been here. You ain't been here. Because ain't no damn Oasis Coney Islands been gone since motherfucking Jesus was a damn baby. Now, where the hell you been?
It ain't been that long.
It's been more than five years.
Yeah,
Jesus,
maybe.
Last time they had on Oasis Coney Island, Jesus is fucking on Mary's shit, okay?
I'm going to sound like a scene from Man's Society. Yeah, man, you have changed. Man, you have changed. You're not from the hood no more now. Wow.
Yeah.
I love this. This was like a great intense tennis match verbally. It was like Serena Williams versus John McEnroe. And this is like awesome. This is like awesome.
Yeah.
Game set and match for Ms. V. Damn. Mm-hmm. He won that one. Damn. That's over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. Because she still lives there. I go home to visit. I go home maybe about.
Well, you got a good point.
I go home like a week, maybe like 3-4 days at a time. So
you're like, let me get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. No, it ain't like that. Don't start that. It ain't like that.
Hey, you're here, ladies and gentlemen. Dietrich can't wait to get it over with for coming to Detroit and leaving in the same week. Yeah, he's in and out like if it's a cheap motel on the corner somewhere, you know.
What? I mean, for me, I go home, I just can't stay long. Give me about six days, I'm gone. See my family, hell, what business I have.
Stay that long?
No.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I do. I go home, I visit my family, I hang with people, I see friends. I go to Lou's Deli.
Make sure we understand that his friends are staying in the burbs because he sure they ain't staying in the city. Because he already said he's afraid to get carjacked.
So, yeah, exactly. So is this within a 24-hour span you do all this? You do this all 24 hours and get the hell out? So, and you just extend it to make yourself look better and say
get my you know what I'm saying? I get my Faygos. I buy my Faygo pop. My burgers.
You find somebody
in
the first time you go to Lou's Deli. Lou's Deli is fucking shit now. That's some garbage.
No, it's garbage. It can't be.
I got fast cash the last time I went to Lou's Deli, I got fucking food poisoning.
40 love Miss V.
What? Oh, Demi Moore, what do you call it? I got fucking food poisoning
last time I went to Lou's Deli. I don't eat that shit for nothing.
Not good.
I go to Mr. Fofo's first. I ain't never got food poisoning from him. Shit.
I don't know.
See?
King, Can't even start a match for Ms. V again. That's 2-0.
Oh, shit. Oh, be quiet, man. Be quiet. It ain't like you act,
she's
okay,
a Serena Williams tonight.
Is, you act like, damn. You act like I show up, I just drive around. I'm going to go see what's here. I drive the whole city. No, I come home.
Damn on Ace of Coney Island, we know that shit.
That's one thing I said. I never said I went to one. I said I talked about it on the.
I gotta review
you
that.
Took,
to be honest,
you took it as you took it. Yeah, you took it as I said I've been to one. I said remember or it's Coney Island like that. And you said like,
to
oh, we've been there.
Little did you know, Dietrich, just like the major sports nowadays, we have our own little replay center right here on V's After Dark Radio. We have to check this out.
And,
there's a buzzer was buzzed.
Man.
The buzzer was buzzed
y'all
by
terrible,
Ms. V. See, you don't know.
You don't
know. I got a private line that comes right to my house. And when Ms. V smells bullshit, she presses that button. And I pick up the phone. It's like the bat phone, you know, from the old school Batman TV.
The bat.
I pick it up.
The bat phone.
I pick it up with the see-through glass, and I go, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, I know what this means. You know, and then, you know, I got to call you out. So we have to review, you know, we have to review the audio. And, you know, we're going to, it'll be,
you know,
you know, down the middle. No agenda. It'll be right down the middle of you. Say what you said.
You don't let me want it. You don't let me make a special trip to go home next month. This is fine, Ms. V. They're like, okay, let's go ride around. Show me what I did.
This is where I live.
Because you straight. You straight.
Dietrich, I will ride with you. I will ride with you because you're not Dietrich. But Dietrich, remember, I don't really hang with my fans, so I will hang with you just because you talk so much shit. I sit there and say, okay, Dietrich, it's on. That's
you heard of you ever heard a dude
actually,
named
I had to
show
you.
He called himself
I had to
show
you.
Detroit Dietrich? No, I never heard of him. Who's that? They used to call him Double D over here and the Big D. No, who the fuck is that?
Oh, I know I ain't that bad. No, I ain't gonna
nah,
I don't claim him like that. No, I ain't
I'm
like
just
that.
Messing. I'm just messing. This is just fun. This is hilarious. I'm loving it.
I know y'all.
This is fun.
Talking about because I walk in the damn city. Shit, I'm one of the few black people that actually got a job in the city that pay more than minimum wage. Now, shit, I gotta be proud of that. Hell, you know, most of the black folks only make minimum wage in the city. Shit, I can actually afford to park in the damn city. I can afford to park. And I wish a motherfucker would. I'm going to still be hood. I wish a motherfucker would boss up on me. I'll beat a motherfucker's ass. That's why I run every day.
You got mace? You got mace? You carry mace or what? You got mace with you?
I'm not allowed to. I can't carry it.
Oh, it's not allowed in Detroit? It's not allowed in Michigan?
It's not allowed. It's not allowed where I work at.
Oh, gotcha. I understand. Never mind.
I work at
Station Allowed.
No, I'm just saying because we just had a whole damn conference on that shit, and I was like, oh, so you motherfuckers said I can't bring my mace with me. I said, yeah, and still they got damn muggers down here. You know what I told? That's why I'm going to get fired. That's what they told me. I was like, not me.
Actually, we actually got the actual recorded video of Ms. V said when she got the news that she can't carry mace to her job.
What did you say, nigga?
That's
pretty much what I did say. I did say it. I was like, what the fuck?
I'm done.
That never gets old. That never will get old. I love
and
that.
I had five other sisters backing me when I said it because we was all in this meeting. And I brought it up, and they was like, yeah, that's right. And they was like, nah, you know that's why I get fired. And we all looking at each other like, are you fucking serious? I was like, so you telling me I can't protect myself? They said, you know, that's why I get fired. I was like, that's some bullshit. I said, okay, so I got to come down here. Your motherfucker's going to provide security for me, and then you're going to tell me this? I said, okay. And it's like, you know, you take a chance if you carry it, because if we search you and we find it, we can fire you. And I said, okay.
Oh,
I said, when I beat this motherfucker's ass out here, I said, we'll know why. I was like, that's all right.
Wow. Oh, man.
Kickboxing class is coming
tired,
real
y'all.
Good.
But
you know what? We ain't talking about sports other than the Red Wings and damn District Detroit. You know, then you came in. But see, kickboxing, I'm telling you, why do you think they offer kickboxing classes? Downtown Detroit got more gyms. See, Dietrich, I'm going to give you a little bit of information. Downtown Detroit, we got CrossFit, we got that 24-hour fitness stuff. I forget what it's called. Action something or whatever. Listen, you got four or five places downtown Detroit where you can go work out. On top of the white folks actually putting on their workout clothes and running. Literally, these motherfuckers run during lunch.
Actually.
And even in the wintertime, you be looking at them like, damn, white people, and they not running from nobody. They like, we be looking at them running. I be like, oh, you motherfuckers crazy.
matter of fact, I actually got actual audio I just got from that website, you know, the District Detroit website. I actually got exclusive video of what just happened not even a few seconds ago. Let me play this clip. Hold on.
Oh,
hold on a second.
Funny.
Ah, shit. Just another day.
That was a white person running in the city. That was another black, one less black person in the city, okay? That's how they're getting rid of us. They're just blowing up the way.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do I hear another one? Wait, what's... Ah, man. There goes another one. Damn.
Damn.
Listen, the construction crews can actually leave their stuff there at night. See, it's so sad that, you know how...
Okay, there's something going on. They can do that. Yeah.
They need the construction equipment and everything.
Come on. And they don't got no, like, security 24/7 around there?
They got some security, but shoot, you got all them folks for the Wayne State University. You got damn condos down there. The folks paying $200,000 and $300,000. I mean, hell, if you want the cheap place to live, you move downtown Detroit into an abandoned building. Ain't no more. You know that was like you get you a 3-bedroom townhouse for nothing down there. Now you get evicted if you can find a place to stay. Hell, the damn homeless people are putting people out the car for our bosses. They come out. Oh, you want to stay here? You got to pay rent. And rent ain't cheap for a cardboard box somewhere. The man on the corner talking about now, you know, listen, I got a home. I just need more rent money. Shit. You know, that's how it's going now. The homeless ain't even homeless. That's the white folks. White folks talking about shit. You niggas have more money than us. Yeah, I said it was. They see, wait a minute. They stand at the highway looking at us like, oh, I know you got some money. You just left work. Like, I want downtown. That means you got some money.
Uh-oh, here we go. Here comes a bullet.
Yeah.
Just got paid. Try it.
You're doing the same sound bite. That's funny. I like that.
Bullet in my head. I'm dying tonight. Yeah, wow. That's something. See, I love that website, man. You get to see the construction of this new arena. You hear what's actually going on. Live audio, traffic, you know, with the cars and stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Dietrich, are we living that moment when you called in the show one time on It's All About Sex and More Sex, and we tried to get attention, and all we heard was, hey, what's going on over there? Come on, kick your ass.
Oh, no.
What the hell? No.
No, I'm probably ready to go. You funny. I'm about ready to go anyway. I gotta get something to eat.
Oh, okay.
Miss V didn't tow me up, so I gotta go.
So now you're gonna take it off. That's what you're doing, right?
Wait a minute. I ain't said nothing. You said something. I gotta get
some of my ass back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And one other thing. Yo, one more thing before you have to go, man. I know you got things to do. What happened? You used to call my show. What happened? You've been busy lately? You haven't called my show in a while now.
Well, I had some business to handle. My car got totaled on Easter Sunday at my job.
Oh, I'm
sorry
about that.
Drunk,
I didn't know that.
A drunk 18-year-old girl jumped the curb. She got to a pole and hit my car.
You're trying to make us feel bad to save yourself after what you did today.
Huh? She pushed it back, you know, and then I just now got the check for that.
Man.
My car total loss, even though my car still running and everything. But the fact that the pole crushed the whole roof and made it cave in, they towed it out altogether.
But in all seriousness, so you were in the car when this happened?
No, I had just got out the car and went back into the building.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God, dude.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I
didn't
check
thank
that
God you're
right. Yesterday. Oh, yeah. But then they didn't try to say she wasn't drinking because, you know, Caucasian girl, 18, then was cop. They tried to make it like my fault. I was like, look, I was in the building. My car was parked. All I wanted was my insurance, her insurance policy, so I could get my stuff.
Mm.
That was it.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear about that, man. I didn't know.
No, it's a blessing in disguise because I got a health plan payoff from the insurance company, so I gave me enough money to get another car.
There you go, ching. See?
Yeah.
And in the end, is a happy story. I like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Because the final insurance company, cause she have aggressive. They act like they won't give me no money. They was like, oh, we can't do this. We got to do the investigation to make sure that you are liable. I'm like, dog, I was in the building. I went in the car. In the police. The police was procrastinating with the report. They said, we got to get the police report to verify before we can do anything. I was like, why I got to do all that? You know, I ain't nothing to do it. So.
True.
That took a whole 2 weeks.
Wow.
Finally, I got a check yesterday. Finally.
Holy crap, man.
Because you know, the insurance company had to talk to her before they could do anything. And the girl's parents kept overstepping in, like, trying to talk for her. And the insurance company, her insurance company was like, no, we have to drive her. So that would held it up, too, because she's 18.
Oh, wow.
You know. Because I didn't know.
She's an adult.
You know. Yeah. I didn't know, but I guess because she was in high school and all that bullshit and the shit probably.
It don't matter. You're 18. All you gotta do is sit. That bitch could suck a dick legally, okay? She could do porn legally. So tell them, listen, the bitch could go on camera and suck a dick legally. It don't matter if she ain't in high school or not. She's still legal. She's 18. This time the law. The law says that she can legally suck dick on camera and not get in trouble.
Yeah.
Y'all stop all that.
Yep. But let me go, though.
All right, man.
I'll be calling tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, call back tomorrow night, man. 10 p.m.
All right.
All right, man.
Got you.
Later, bro. Peace.
All right.
Nice hearing from you, man.
Peace.
Ladies and tomatoes to you.
Later.
All right. Later.
Okay.
There you go.
And I just saw
my
construction guy outside my house, the guy doing the work on my house. So I need to probably get off this show anyway.
So let me just say this. If you want to hear my thoughts about what happened last night, which is probably one of the greatest sports moments ever, especially two different things at the same time simultaneously, just check my show out tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today's show just went into another direction, which was very awesome. I was glad to be a part of it. But I'm holding my thoughts of what I witnessed last night to my show tomorrow. Let's put it like that. So until then.
And let me know.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow night we will have, oh God, I don't have his name in front of me again. But
we're so professional here.
He's the director of operations for Dallas Novelties. And
nice.
We're gonna talk to
this
him
is interesting,
about
by the way.
His toy. I mean, his name is Nick Hayer.
I've
from
seen the
Dallas
photos.
Novelties. And we're gonna be talking about the products that have been created for people who are handicapped. That's going to be our focus tomorrow night, is products for handicapped individuals, because I don't even have any products on my site for people who are handicapped, and I'm not trying to be funny or anything. This is a really serious topic because I believe that everybody, you know, normally I make light
of things,
but everybody should have sex, you know. And
absolutely.
The honest to God truth is that, you know, to have somebody who has taken the time, because he's handicapped himself, we're going to be talking about how he's overcome his handicap and being able to have sex and having a product that will help him, not just him, but men and women also. You know, we're going to be discussing that. Guys, this is a show that you really want to listen to. We're going to truly stick to our interviews because of the nature of this topic. We're not going to try to get into detail. You know how we do with the adult stars. We're going to ask you guys if you have any questions. Send them to us ahead of time. We'll try to get your questions in because I don't want to be disrespectful to our guests. And I know a lot of times our listeners, because y'all are so used to me being raunchy, that and I can still be raunchy, but this is so serious. I really want to get the true information in about the products and tell you guys where you can get them. If you know somebody who's handicapped, we want to get that information in. So we will actually be going, he'll be calling in at 10:30. If you guys have any questions, DM myself or James with your questions. I promise you we will answer those questions for you. This is one of the few shows, and that's just something where you really got to get specific. We'll ask the questions for you. We're going to make this strictly our interview. That means from 10:30 to 11:30 we'll be
11:30.
Talking to the and that's Eastern time. From 10:30 to 11:30 we'll be talking to the mayor, the owner of Dallas Novelties. Well, not owner, he's the director. But we're going to be really getting into some information, and we'll be telling you guys how to get a hold of these products for people who are handicapped. And like I said, if you got any questions specifically about that, you know, I believe their website stuff, I think it's DallasNovelties.com. I'm not going to, don't quote me exactly, you know, go check it out, check out the product. You know, if you have any questions, you want to know if they're doing anything else, you know, this is the opportunity and time to talk to them about that. And we're going to be back tomorrow night. And I promise you guys, I will try to wake up because I'm hoping that my blood sugar is back up by tomorrow morning. You know, every now and then, somebody like Dietrich will get me riled up, especially when he says things that I got to contradict him on, you know.
That was great, Dietrich. That was great.
You know.
But I'm not just saying this because I'm your co-host and, you know, and I host this show. And I'm part of the VFX Radio family, but you won that one. I'm just keeping it real.
Well, you know what? He knew he was out of order. Going to sit there and talk about some shit that he know he ain't been. So this is when I call him out in a heartbeat, you know. We smelling him out, you know, talking about when he was home. And then I had to ask him, where at? Shit.
you know, things were getting serious when, you know, with this show, Afternoons with Esports, this is the only show out of the three, you know, the Triple B and All About Sex and More Sex, where we try to, you know, we want to be PG. But when Dietrich went that way, that went out the window in the heartbeat.
So, you know, we apologize to everybody who might have had children listening and tell us not to go that way. But, you know, he kind of said some things that weren't true about the D. You know, I still am here. You know, I had to, you know, kind of correct. You know, I had to correct it, you know.
Oh, my God. The clause came out. Yes, it did.
You know. Because, you know,
Serena would be proud.
He took us from the D, and I told him, no problem, you know, I really will, but we got to go. So we want to tell you guys, we'll talk
please.
To you tomorrow night. And
that's right.
Have a great evening, everybody.
Yes, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Ladies and tomatoes, everybody. Peace.
Peace. Good night.
Peace.